You're listening to the High Spot Podcast presented by Brain Stew Radio. Brain Stew Radio is brought to you by Brain Stew Media. Check out studio rates, online mixing deals, and live sound recording by going to brainstewmedia.com. Brain Stew Radio graphics are designed by Skunk Duck Designs. For all of your graphic art needs, Skunk Duck, no one does it better. Brain Stew Radio is happy to be affiliated with Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars to deliver your high-quality independent pro wrestling. Check out their upcoming schedule at WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
That intro can only mean one thing. You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, as well as Brain Stew Radio Network at Brain Stew Radio. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. My tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I am Brian Berga. Jeff, how you been, man?
Well, I'm great, man. But the best thing is we made it to the big 5-0. Episode 50 is coming at you. And I got to tell you, man, after, you know, number 5, we were like, is this going to go anywhere? But hey.
Okay, number 1, I was thinking about that.
Really? Number 1 already?
Well, we were talking about Tom Brady's balls, basically.
And then Deflategate, and we were like, what are we doing, man? Let's talk wrestling.
What a great episode to start with, though, is Deflategate, because everybody was talking about that.
Everyone had an opinion on it. But now we go from Deflategate, and we go all the way to episode 50 here on the High Spot Podcast. And it's got to be a good feeling of accomplishment to know that, you know, 50 episodes in now, we're hitting our stride, so to say, and really looking forward to, you know, bigger and better things as of number 50. I remember back I did a little spot there, where a little hot tag where I said, you know, number 30, and now we're up to number 50. So, you know, looking forward to it here, and glad that we have a partnership with Brain Stew Radio and Chris Hamill. We love you. So lots to talk about, man. I mean, where do we start, man? So much going on, and I guess anything on your mind, anything you want to
First thing I want to talk about, we'll obviously preview a little bit of Hell in a Cell, which is going to come up this Sunday in Boston, Massachusetts. I really need to talk about, man, you know, I've always been frustrated watching sports, but everybody knows, and if you're not, then you're lying. If any of you have ever participated in fantasy leagues, you could tell how frustrating they can be. Now, I had long ago retired from fantasy, and people were like, haha, you're retiring, Brian. No, seriously, because it takes up so much of your time, and this is just football. So I have a lot of respect for guys, like we've had Adam Ronis on here before, that he, you know, he's the Mr. Miyagi, because basically he went out and taught a former adult star, Lisa Ann, all about fantasy sports, which she had no knowledge about previously, and now she's, you know, doing 10 leagues on Sirius XM with the show Lisa Ann Does Fantasy, and now Adam Ronis obviously does it for Roto Experts. But it's amazing how much it consumes you. But yeah, it becomes the social norm now, where the first thing you do is when you meet somebody, it's like, so how many leagues are you in? So anyway, I'm in this league right now. I basically agreed to it without really knowing. It kind of had a Seinfeld moment there where I couldn't hear what the person was saying, Eddie Murphy, and I agreed to it. But again, hey, I didn't go back on it. I didn't say, no, I'm not going to do it. I initially did, but I ended up doing it. And it's amazing, all that frustration, the reasons why I retired, Jeff, came back. Tough loss. You know, I started strong, 3-0, and so did you. But Jeff's been able to keep it up, going a little bit higher. He has one loss under his belt now.
It's going to be 2 pretty soon. So,
but still, he's in first place, second place right now. I am dwindling down right now. It's frustrating because, like you and I have spoken about before, you could put the right players in, but it's not always about matchups. If they don't produce, then you look like a fool. I got a pretty good lineup.
It's been frustrating, you know, and you think you're making the right moves, right decisions, right pickups on the waiver wire, but, you know, they got to produce. At the end of the day, you're looking at it. And, you know, you did Eddie a solid and joined the league.
What's so funny to me, though, is Brian's going to retire after this because
he's just too emotionally invested in this. So this is a one-time thing. Brian's doing Bill Goldberg, and he's going to just make it a one-time appearance here in the Fantasy Football League. But, you know, did you find anything enjoyable what you're doing, or you just been so emotionally drained by this?
I'm not trying to be a bitter guy, Jeff. It's not enjoyable. The only cool thing is that you feel like you're doing something productive, I guess, because you're pretending to be a GM. But like I was going to mention before, what's funny to me is sometimes, like, when we're both out there earning our paychecks elsewhere, I'm calling you or texting you, asking you for trades advice, or asking you for, like, trades between you and I. What do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? I mean, and that becomes majority other than this show that we talk about, it becomes the majority of what we speak of either on the phone when we get a chance to hang out.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? What are you doing for the show?
How's your team doing? Yeah. So
we drop it. What do you think, Dez? You know, so stuff like that. Yeah. I get you too, but to me, I still love it, and it's going to be part of my life for a long time. Coming off of a fantasy baseball championship that I so proudly can say that I won. So, hey, to each their own, man. To some people, just you know, don't find the fun of it. Like most other people do, but hey, you know what?
Hey, but I'm invested. So here's the thing: I might not find the fun, and it might paint me as a you know gloomy guy, and not somebody who likes that fun. I do like that fun, but honestly, I've been in it, and you've seen me. I've invested myself into this league. I've really gone 120% into it, which I wouldn't do otherwise. Otherwise, I wouldn't care for it.
And the many sleepless nights waiting for that waiver wire to open up.
Oh, I've given up on that.
We were going nuts.
We're going crazy.
All hours of time waiting for this thing to open. And it would open at different times. And before we blink, one would open and be like, God damn, how did we miss out of it? You know,
Close my eyes for 2 seconds and somebody's already picked somebody up. Huh?
That's probably the hardest part when you know you want somebody, but... Anyways,
what about this weather too, man? It's kind of depressing the fact that we've gone here in the metropolitan area, guys. We've gone through some pretty gorgeous weather, you know, especially for October. And we had one Wednesday where it's 80 degrees, and the following day it's already 50, and we had a wind chill of maybe 30 degrees. And I'm thinking to myself, it's too fast.
And it smacks you in the face and just shows the reality of winter coming. And
you know that's like Jeff, don't you?
Definitely. Reality smacks me in the face about every single second of the day that I'm awake, especially between 9 to 5:30. But anyways.
And I sound gloomy.
Winter is gloomy, and then it's going to get dark soon. It's already feels weird. It's like 5 o'clock yesterday. I was like, wait a minute. It feels like more like 8:30.
You won't believe this, man. I just recently listened to some commercials on the radio. I know, the radio, so archaic, right? This is a podcast. We're not on the radio yet. But I heard commercials for holiday music.
Oh, I already saw my first Christmas commercial a couple of days ago.
Oh, I'm you like, did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's slight, but you can see Christmas tree in the background.
These commercials are happening way too early now.
And now people celebrate Christmas right after, or well, the holiday season starts now after Halloween. So as soon as Halloween is over, November 1st, you'll see the decorations here in the city. You'll start the decorations in the malls and in Macy's and all those places.
I'm already starting to see decorations in the city.
I know. I was just walking over here. We saw a couple lights over here on one of the trees, but
man. Tourists. Ugh, it's going to be annoying to get to work.
And it just shows you the end of the year is rapidly approaching. So we got lots to do here on the High Spot Podcast. Again, Jeff Martin with the trendsetter. You didn't call yourself the trendsetter in the intro, man. Do I have to do it all the time?
I think so. It makes no sense if I call myself my own nickname.
Well, the trendsetter.
We should have Tiffany Oshansky back on.
Oh, yeah, she will, actually. Yeah, definitely. Her Pittsburgh Steelers and not doing so well with Ben Roethlisberger out, so we'll see what she thinks about that in the future. Hopefully, maybe he'll be back by the time she comes on. Of course, her with that Ben Affleck interview was really funny, where she actually broke the news to Ben Affleck that they lost to Buffalo. That was pretty fun. I don't know what was better. Was I happy for Tiff that she interviewed Ben Affleck, or just happy to see Ben Affleck actually suffering?
For me, I was happy to see Ben Affleck suffering. I really do. He made me suffer during Batman versus Superman. So, you know, glad he suffers as Patriots lose a game. So what? Get over it, Ben. Get over it. Get over yourself, man.
Or he might just make the list.
You might. But again, I'm not gonna foreshadow who's gonna make the list. They know when they'll be on it.
On what?
On it, Jeff.
So, you know, you mentioning the list and mentioning it, kind of want to start off with that because this whole Chris Jericho thing, and we're talking about beforehand too. Man,
it's been hours talking about Chris Jericho.
It's getting to the point where the list and just Jericho's heelish demeanor eventually is going to lead to the fans to cheer, if not already. And the fans are loving it. They're drinking it in, so to say. And I'm just telling you now, nowadays, to you, to be a true heel, I don't know whether it's the fans are too smart now, or they, you know, they dig just the aura of the heel, that they can't really fully hate that person. But, you know, it's starting to become self-evident that the fans are behind Chris Jericho and they love this thing. So it's going to be hard for Jericho to maintain this heel persona, because the more and more he gets into it, the more creative he is with this character, the fans are going to love it, and they're eating it up, drinking it in. And to me, how does Jericho keep you know, from getting, you know, cheered. Because, you know, obviously Chris Jericho makes the point of saying, you know, I'm the heel. I got to go full blown. I want the people to come to see me get my ass kicked. How does Jericho do that when obviously everyone's loving this thing? And you can actually hear the fans, you know, cheer for this.
They're still chanting Y2J, yeah. How's he do it? You're asking the wrong guy here, Jeff, because I've loved Jericho since the moment, you know, I first saw him in WCW. Didn't like his cookie cutter. I call it Cuddy.
Cuddy? Okay.
Because it's, you know, another word, starts with S. But it was terrible, you know, and they were making him a full-blown babyface. But long story short, it didn't work. But then you could somehow relate to Jericho. It's tough nowadays, Jeff. You're asking me what a true heel is. I really don't think anymore there is such a thing as a true heel. We talk about the Attitude Era and how much we loved it. Back then, our guys that we loved the most were the ones that went against the authority, no pun intended, with the WWE authority version of it. They were just, you know, mavericks in a way. They beat to their own drum. Look at guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Was anybody ever supposed to cheer Stone Cold Steve Austin? We're all supposed to hate him. The Rock. All these guys, even Triple H to an extent as well. Jericho gets cheered for the amount of respect that people have for him and all the stuff that he's done in the business and accomplished. So, you know, when Jericho goes out publicly on his podcast and says, you know, I hate when fans cheer me when I'm supposed to be the heel, I would in turn like to tell Jericho, what do you expect? Because, you know, we understand the kids are going to boo you because they don't know any better right now. But the diehards and the adults, they're always going to cheer you because they love you. So,
well, I think he gets that, but also to the point where they're performers, and I guess as a performer, whether it's on stage or it's in the ring, I think you're trying your best to play a character, right? And that character is supposed to play this heel, this bad guy, or a baby face, a good guy. When they don't get that, they feel like they're failing, even though they're actually not. So I think
I get it from a performer standpoint.
Yeah, so I think Jericho, you know, tries to, but he's got to understand. He also got to understand that you know, that he's well respected as a veteran in the company now. Been wrestling for over, you know, like 25 years or so. So he's got to get it. But to me though, this Jericho persona, this heel that he's adapted, the list, the Kevin Owens, the bromance, the best friend angle, to me it's been, you know, one of his best runs in a long time. And to me, you know, it's starting to, I don't know how long we'll have Jericho with us in the WWE, but to me, man, it's just something that I applaud, and to me I can't help but respect.
Well, I've always been one of those people to have asked the question, how much longer is he going to be here? How much longer is his stay here as well? And, you know, even Jericho himself would say it in certain interviews, and we like to hope to have him on here one time too. He says, you know, just enjoy it. And that's what I've been doing right now as a fan of Jericho's.
Yeah, definitely.
Just enjoying his time here. Whenever he decides to leave to go on tour, if he never comes back, you need to enjoy the moments now because you know they're not going to last. It's the same situation that I have for Marty Brodeur when I knew the light at the end of the tunnel was there, and I was just enjoying him playing rather than knowing we're not going to win a Stanley Cup.
And for
Cup
probably
the
only one Devil fan that out there that's listening to this, Marty Brodeur was a former goalie for the New Jersey Devils, probably the greatest goaltender of all time in Brian and I's opinion. So just in case,
there's no argument. He is the greatest goalie of all time. Look at all the records. I mean, people like to talk about statistics, Jeff. The stats are there. But going back to Jericho, and you know, we're educating people on the NHL, which we'll talk more about because the season has started. You know, Jericho has just he's so revolutionary in terms of he's always been able to not do the same shtick. It kind of starts off that way every time he comes back, but he's always been able to recreate it. And he's gone back kind of more to the heel that becomes more of the fan favorite, but he'll never turn that way. This is some of his best work that I've seen. Something as simple as writing things off, which we create a segment for, The List, is just amazing. It's just it's a dying breed, in my opinion. It just shows you the lineage and creativity an individual like Chris might has. And how it's kind of faltered and gone away a little bit, because when you look at it now, guys like Chris Jericho, they're not here much longer. The only guy I can kind of relate him to a little bit maybe would be like Fergal Devitt, Finn Balor,
Fergal. I still can't get used to saying Fergal, but
yeah, that's his name though. And somebody like him, he's so creative. He loves doing things different. Doesn't always do the same shtick, because again, the audience attention span, like yours and mine, is like 10 seconds. We want to see something different, but at the same time, you keep force-feeding us the same thing over and over again, which the true heels, I would say, are actually the baby
faces.
And
they can always change, too, and the heels can always change. And you know, maybe the chameleon, kind of like adjust to the surroundings. But the fact that
you always
Raw,
want to see layers and characters.
Yeah, but the fact that Raw can open up and it's basically focal point is the list, and Chris Jericho and how they carried that throughout the show was just, you know, just amazing to see. And it takes only a certain kind of you know, persona, character as in Chris Jericho, to take the ball and roll with it. So, you know, Chris Jericho and the Monday Night Raw opening up with the list, and also to the contract between Becky Lynch and Charlotte for Hell in a Cell, which most likely will main
Sasha
event.
Sasha Banks and Charlotte.
Charlotte and who? Oh, Becky Lynch, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, Becky Lynch will defend her title for SmackDown on SmackDown Live. She's actually come back now from an undisclosed injury, which we still have no idea what happened to the last kicker. Yeah, but you're right. Charlotte and Sasha Banks signing the contract on Raw.
And most likely be the main event for Hell in a Cell in Boston, in Sasha Banks' hometown. So we'll preview Hell in a Cell, too,
for you.
What
you just said, it might be the main event. Does it make sense now, the way they're building up? Or would you not look at Sasha and Charlotte right now? And this is no attack on the women's division, but do you see that as a main event? Or are they giving them this opportunity to see how they'll do?
Well, it looks like they're pushing it to it. They're pushing towards it. I don't know if it should be the main event. Listen, like Brian said, I'm all for the women's revolution. I'm well for them getting their due. But to me, I'm not old fashioned. I'm not trying to be old fashioned traditionalist. But the title should be the main draw. The universal title, right? What was the world title before? Universal title now. Nothing against the women's title. Nothing that they should go second or not. But just as far as this rivalry between Owens and Rollins, it just seems secondary. So they're going to push this one between Charlotte and Sasha Banks, and we'll see what happens. But to me, am I full-fledged on board with this being the main event? Yes and no. And to me, that sounds very, 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 you know, I guess like political. Well, it's not like a politician where I'm split up the middle. But to me,
or if you're jumping back and forth, then you'd be a politician as well, right? Because there's like the jump back and forth,
right? Flip-flopper. No, exactly. I'm stuck in the middle, and I feel like Switzerland right now. You know what I mean? I don't know exactly. I don't feel good or bad about it. But to me, I just was raised with the main event being the, you know, the world title or the universal title, what they call it now. So it's going to be interesting. I'm not against it. I'm you know, and also the curiosity between two women in a Hell in a Cell to see
first
how far
time
they
ever.
Go. First time ever. It's going to be very interesting. So to me, you know, I don't mind it, but I'm just so stuck to the norm of having the, you know, the title, the main title be go on last.
No, I get you. I mean, you could dive more into this, but I might as well dive into it now. I have no issue with the women's championship being put in as the main event. I mean, I think that's just the way it goes. And I really think whatever's going to draw the most money or people want to pay ticket to see, that should be the main event, theoretically. You know, I was an old-fashioned mindset as well, Jeff, when I used to think that the title, the WWE title, should always be the last resort. But when you look at, for example, past WrestleManias or past pay-per-views, when we've seen rivalries and storylines continue, which we start thinking this actually means more than the championship, then I'm all for it. For example, perfect example, you know, this is going way back, Hogan and The Rock. That should have been the last match at WrestleMania, what was it, 18. It should have been Jericho and Triple H. And, you know, the other one, all the Undertaker matches with Shawn Michaels, those should have been the main event.
We can even go back to this year's WrestleMania, where a lot of people could say that maybe Taker and Shane could have closed it.
Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
Instead of Roman Reigns and Hunter.
Because we felt when we talked about it that more was on the line. It was who was going to control the company. Shouldn't that be your main event? And by then, obviously, everybody was exhausted and, I mean, we didn't get a great main event, and that's what ended up happening at WrestleMania. But for this case, for me, Jeff, I just feel like, for example, everybody's talked about how the women need to get more TV time, right? And I'm in agreement with that. They should. But I also felt there should be more storylines established for the women, because you do have a good amount of women on your roster, especially when it comes to Raw. There should be more storylines outside of that. Because, for example, I go back to Trish Stratus and Lita, two innovators. They really started a lot of the women's division. They weren't the first to start off with, but a lot of people gave them the most attention in their rivalry that continued on. But when you looked at, for example, a long time ago, Survivor Series, it was Trish Stratus in a storyline. She wasn't with Lita. She didn't have the title, but she was fighting Victoria, which I love Victoria.
The famous anything goes, right? The street fight?
It was a street fight. First ever women's street fight. And it was more than the title. It was just us seeing something we hadn't seen before. For example, now, Hell in a Cell coming this Sunday, something we've never, ever seen two women inside. We've seen steel cage matches. I don't think there's even been a women's steel cage match. We're going to see two women go up for the title. I think it makes the main event. My biggest issue, and everybody says, oh, Brian, you're nitpicking. I don't think the storyline building up to this, and I know Sasha Banks got injured and kind of changed a lot of things at SummerSlam, which we were there, but I don't think the storyline has lived up to main event status. We know it's personal between the two of them, but maybe I'm a bigger nitpicker on promos, Jeff, because I think promos sell everything. I think Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, although they've been kind of given a second look for the Universal title, have cut more promos and better promos and sold this better than Sasha and Charlotte. So to me, if you don't deliver on the promos and make people, when you talk, you grab that microphone like I'm grabbing right now and sell them on it, I'm sold on it because it's them. I'm not sold on it because of storyline. So that, in that sense, I don't think it deserves the main event status.
If you had to decide who is going to come out victorious in that match between Charlotte and Sasha, what would you say would be the end result?
It's kind of like what I told you at SummerSlam. If right now, you even mentioned it too about flip-flopping the title. If you take it off Sasha now
and
put it on Charlotte, that value of that title, I understand it's the person that makes the help. But right now, the Raw Women's Championship, which is still significantly new, and now you have the SmackDown Women's Championship, you need certain people to kind of give it credibility, because if it keeps going back and forth like a hot potato, I just feel it loses that ability that anybody else can win it. Now, again, this isn't legitimate sports. This isn't combat sports like the UFC or boxing, and anybody can lose in any other day. And maybe that's the kind of idea they're trying to give. But in this case right now, you need a strong, established person. I've always been the fan of the heel should always have the belt, because it gives the babyface something to aspire to. Once you start having a babyface, and I know it's worked before, but again, we're way past the times of Hulk Hogan, and thank God we're done with John Cena for a long reign. It makes more sense because, again, you want the babyface as a champ so kids can look up to, yes, the good guy wins in the end, but what makes more of a message to the young audience? Ah, here's the good guy running and trying to get the good fight and trying to, you know, accomplish and reach the top of the mountain. To me, that's more enjoyable to watch sometimes, especially when they do it after so long.
But you didn't answer my question. Who's going to win, Sasha or Charlotte? I'm just joking, man. No, seriously, who's going to win, Charlotte?
You son of a bitch. I had this great explanation. But no, I think really Sasha should walk out with it right now. But again, as much as I love Sasha, she's not doing a good job right now, I feel, as champion, because no offense.
I don't like her promos, man.
Her promos are a lot better as a heel. When she starts going back to the past, which I don't mind, but again, it goes way far back to the point where this becomes just kind of, you know, I've worked for so long, blah, blah, blah. It becomes the same thing. I know it's real, and those are real emotions coming from her, but we have to do something different here. It's not about how you grew up watching this and wanting to be for your whole life. It has to be something different. And Charlotte, by all the credit due to her and what she's done, man, I can't buy into Charlotte right now as somebody that can sell to me on the microphone. She can't. She's having problems. She can't. Her delivery, her timing is completely off.
So to me, honestly, I think that you're right. Well, all signs point to Sasha retaining. I think that, too, that at the end, though, to me, an abrupt loss by Charlotte a few weeks back on Raw, to me, I think that Charlotte should be the champion. But who comes out of Hell in a Cell? I think it's Sasha Banks. So there you go for that matchup. You know, also, too, real quick, it's announced, too, something we didn't fail to touch on last week was, you know, talk about the women's revolution. How about Mickie James returning to NXT or coming back to WWE and going up against Asuka for the NXT Women's title at TakeOver during Survivor Series weekend. How great is that matchup when you heard that? And what does it mean about the women's division?
Well, for me, that was twofold. One, I was excited to see Mickie James come back. I thought she could have come back a long time ago to kind of give some stability to the division, to help during the whole women's revolution. But also, I look at it and I kind of scratch my head, like, how does this work? What it speaks to me about, it speaks to me that the NXT Women's Division right now is kind of thin. And there are not that many people right now that they're building up. So that was the first thing I thought of, me being very cynical of everything. Second, I was kind of scratching my head, okay, how does this work? How storyline-wise do you do this? And then I saw, as we always go to the internet, because everything on the internet's true, but it made more sense.
Is it
that
really?
Yeah, that's
you mean
what I've
it's
heard.
It's not?
No, it's not. Supposedly, I spend way too much time watching TMZ. I don't, guys. I don't watch TMZ. But looking at it from that angle, looking at the original storyline was supposed to be Trish Stratus. But Trish Stratus, you know, and congratulations to Trish Stratus, is pregnant again with another baby, most likely a son for her first kid. So that was the original plan. I was like, wow, that makes sense. I would like to see that, Asuka and Trish Stratus, because it would make sense. It's in Toronto. So why wouldn't it make sense for NXT TakeOver in Toronto?
Well, what they wanted to do was they wanted to have Asuka full-blown heel.
Yeah.
So that Ember Moon could actually, you know, take that spot. It looks like Ember Moon is going to maybe, you know, get to that point where she becomes the number one contender and the number one challenger for Asuka on NXT. Because honestly, since Bayley's left, you know, there's been a huge void filled in that women's division. Once the draft happened, there really has been a void. And Asuka clearly is the dominant female, you know, for NXT, so to find someone to do battle with, it's kind of hard to promote. So I'm glad Mickie James is back, and I think our boy John Cann also knew way beforehand too, and he announced on his Twitter that he knew a week before that. But
I'm sure he would have been more excited. No offense to Mickie James, to see Trish Stratus in there, but again, circumstances happen where it's not going to happen, though.
And you know, no complaints here on the substitute, because Mickie James, it's been a while since we've seen her, so you know, just very excited for that matchup.
It's great, and you know, as much as I make fun of the fact that, you know, the women's division is in NXT is kind of low, or not necessarily make fun of it, but talk about, you know, the thinness they have in that roster. It's always great to see a past superstar come back, so it gives you kind of that nostalgia feeling, and it should be a great match. They're building Asuka to be this dominant force. She's still undefeated. Eventually, it's going to have to change, but in this case, I guess they're saving it for Ember Moon.
Do you blame...
Which I still think it's too early for her. She needs at least one or two NXT takeovers under her belt.
Do you blame the WWE for going the nostalgic route a lot nowadays?
I blame the WWE for everything, Jeff. You know this.
But
I'm not happy.
What do you think of them using nostalgia? I mean, we're talking about Mickie James, and I know Mickie James is going to be good to see her back, and you know, she's not obviously going to be there the whole time. It looks like maybe a one-time deal. Put Asuka even more over. But, okay, we're going to get into situations like, for example, you know, we'll get to the big one in a little bit. But how about, for example, AJ Styles. AJ Styles tweeted out a picture of him and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, and I was so excited when I saw that.
Right? I mean, I almost I fainted. That's like a dream matchup. Even though
it's hard for me to see you faint at something.
Well, you know. Well, you know, I wouldn't say faint, but still, you know, kind of.
I was jumping up and down like a little schoolgirl.
I fanboyed, like when we had Bazanji on.
I was screaming and yelling like it was Bobby McShankill, whoever the lead singer of NSYNC was. I mean, that's how excited I was.
You mean Justin Timberlake?
Oh, okay, yeah, him. Mm-hmm. That's how excited I was.
Or like watching your boyhood idol, Mungoose McQueen, for the first time on stage.
Oh, my, so exciting to see Mungoose. Oh, I'd never been to a Fosse concert, and to see him. Wow. But again, I digress.
So
that's
you had Shawn Michaels and AJ Styles.
Different nostalgia there.
AJ Styles tweeted a picture of them. Of course, Royal Rumble is in San Antonio, Texas, and AJ Styles, who is in his own battle with Dean Ambrose right now, and the great one, James Ellsworth.
Oh my God, we got to talk about him in a second.
How do you feel about that? How would you feel about the match? I know it's in San Antonio. I know they're going to the Alamo Dome. Got to sell tickets. Shawn Michaels kind of made it clear that doesn't want to come back, respecting that The Undertaker ended his career.
Yeah.
And again, Shawn Michaels at 50-plus years old, you still want to see it, but do you think the WWE relies too much on nostalgia? Or maybe this is not the best example, because you know the other one between Brock and Goldberg, but how about this one? Do you think they're depending too much on nostalgia and the fans just to watch, just, you know, to relive their youth?
Oh, man, it's such an open-ended question. Yes, I think a lot of it has to do, too, with the fact that whenever, like, for example, the 2K video games come out, whoever is on the cover, which is a past superstar, I mean, we had this with Sting, now we're having this with Goldberg. We even had it with Austin, but, you know, never happened with Austin. The thing is, we always wanted to have, as fans in our head, Jeff, with the what if. Oh, what if Stone Cold went up against this guy, and what if The Rock went up against this guy? And to our enjoyment, and to the WWE's credit, which I usually don't give them enough credit, it has happened. The nostalgia fact is there. Jeff, I think it serves a purpose. There's a reason for it, especially around certain special times. And what I've noticed about the WWE now, they're trying to make their events, which used to be the major events, and I talk about SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. These four events used to be the major events. You would have storylines before TV and cable came out. These were the main events you wanted to go to, and you went big as promoters, right? I think they're trying to do that again. But when it comes to the nostalgia factor, like I said before, it serves its purpose. But I think in this scenario, as excited I am to see, you know, what Goldberg, Brock Lesnar again, not really, but again, it has that feeling, oh, what could happen, to see Shawn Michaels and AJ Styles. If you're a fan, you're like, my God, make it happen. But again, this is the conflict I have sometimes. When you see somebody go out high and on their terms, I never want them to come back because it defeats the purpose. Now, here again, we want to see Stone Cold when he's 50, right, and still wrestle and shoot a stunner. But again, I'd rather put the nostalgia of Goldberg and Shawn Michaels or Stone Cold Steve Austin, even The Rock, although he's still ripped up at 40. I want them to stay the way I remembered them. So, yeah, I would want to see it, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. Shawn would never do it for the reason you just gave, where he wants to honor The Undertaker. That's the way he wanted to go out. Makes no sense for him. But again, who wouldn't want to see AJ Styles and Shawn Michaels go at it? Even Shawn Michaels at 50 is probably better than most people on the roster. The downfall of the nostalgia factor, Jeff, it just kind of shows a little bit in some cases that you're not developing your roster enough where you don't need that nostalgia factor every single time. That's what worries me sometimes, because we're seeing it happen quite frequently now. And to me, it's kind of a little scary, because we thought that he was going the right direction, but right now it seems like they're kind of going back and forth, which is a scary thing sometimes.
It's tough to answer those kind of questions, just like with the Women's Revolution thing. You like it, and then there's things you don't like about it, but again, it could go either way. Same thing with nostalgia. It serves its purpose sometimes. Sometimes it gets the fans that really don't really watch the product anymore, and they hear Shawn Michaels and they hear AJ Styles, like, I heard of this guy, and they're gonna watch, and you can relive your youth. And I have no problem with that. Yes, I totally agree with the fact that, you know, they're not building their young superstars, and there might be a lack of depth with the brand split. But to me, when you get a chance to make Shawn Michaels and AJ Styles, when you get to make dream matches, and to me, I beg somebody to challenge me that wouldn't be a dream match, okay? You got to do it. And Royal Rumble, it's something in San Antonio, Texas. Makes sense. It makes sense. You know, you're wondering, ooh, San Antonio, Texas. Could it be Shawn Michaels? I don't think so, but it does serve a purpose, especially, you know, for this.
Yeah, you're right. It makes sense. I mean, when would you ever bring him back? But in San Antonio, Texas, when he defeated Sid for the WWE Championship. Let alone, he did the Michael Jordan. He had the flu, right? He was sick, and he won the title back then, and then shortly after retired because he had a knee injury. But I get it. From the fans' perspective, just putting these two together makes sense. Why wouldn't I want to see AJ Styles and Shawn Michaels? But then, Jeff, comes the whole Paul Heyman question. You're putting these two together. Why are they fighting? Is it enough to say they're fighting because they just want to fight and people will pay enough to see it? Or what conflict could these two possibly have?
Because everybody knows that everybody, when they compare AJ Styles and the fans that have seen him, not just here in WWE, the fans in TNA, the fans in Ring of Honor, the fans in New Japan, everywhere that AJ Styles have been, everyone has given the credit that he is, you know, as closest to Shawn Michaels as anyone's ever even reached. And to me,
I've never really heard that.
Oh, well, you haven't watched TNA a lot. So they do make the comparison to Shawn Michaels, okay, or in New Japan. Well, let me just tell you this. From what you've seen of AJ Styles,
I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying I've never really heard, even the short time I've seen TNA, them ever compare AJ Styles to Shawn Michaels.
Well, let me say Shawn Michaels, but who do you compare AJ Styles to?
I really don't compare him to anything. Well, the only thing I would compare, maybe Finn Balor is similar to AJ Styles. And there I could see, because of the whole Bullet Club history, those two coming out, which hopefully happens in the near future. But with Shawn Michaels, I never saw myself personally, AJ Styles and Shawn Michaels, because the stuff AJ Styles did early in TNA, even now, it's nothing how Shawn Michaels' style in the ring was. So I didn't see any similarities in terms of that. Being the underdog and smaller guy, yeah, I get it.
Well, I totally see the wrestling styles. Yes, is Shawn Michaels less of a risk taker, but their style and the way they're smooth in the ring and the way they can just work with anybody, to me, that's what is probably what makes a comparison with Shawn Michaels with AJ Styles. But to me, just the fact where AJ Styles, you know, who is the face around the place, can just call out Shawn Michaels, and I think it'd be a shot in the arm for SmackDown brand if Shawn Michaels showed up on SmackDown.
So you're telling me James Ellsworth wasn't enough?
Hey, James Ellsworth alone, you can put him on for 2 hours and the ratings will go up. And you know what?
Damn right.
Give him due, man. The number one wrestling t-shirt on WWBShop.com is James Ellsworth.
Did you try to buy it on WWBShop's
own? I couldn't.
But you tried, though.
It locked me out.
But you tried? Oh, my God. I can't believe you tried.
So, you know, congratulations. And again, it just shows you, you know, any dream can come true. You know?
And I gotta be honest with you, man. I was seeing his match with AJ Styles about 2 weeks ago when it was going to be for the title. He was being interviewed by Renee Young, and as cheesy as it might be, man, I think when she interviewed him and asked him how this felt, he talked about how this changed his life, and he never think at this point in his life he'd ever be in the same ring or could tell his grandkids one day he was in the ring with AJ Styles. It's giving a lot of respect to AJ, but he was crying and cracking. And I think that was authentic. And to me, I gotta admit, I don't know James Ellsworth from a hole in the wall, but to hear him and that emotion he had, which we've talked about, organic, I started tearing up a little bit for him too. So good for him. And my God, that shirt is the most funniest thing I've ever seen because it's just a picture of his face. But man, I'm telling you, man, the WWE universe, I hate to call them that, but the fans, they love the underdog story and they root for people they know are good-hearted people. So it's like, to me, it's always the easiest thing. Let the fans decide, but I know they can't always get what they want. But yeah, good for him, though.
And the rumors that he may actually sign a full-time deal with the WWE, you know, who would have thought, man? Who would have thought? But hey, you know what? He got his opportunity. He took it. And to me, you know, just hopefully good things for James Ellsworth, too. And, you know, that match with him and AJ Styles, I mean, it served its purpose. James Ellsworth was hilarious. You know, sets up the Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles
feud. Don't even start on that. Anyway, we're talking about Shawn Michaels and AJ real quick.
No, but I'm just saying, though, that to me, it's a dream match. And I'm sure you've never, ever wondered what it would be like if Shawn Michaels took on AJ Styles?
No, I never said I didn't wonder. Of course I did. Okay. I just said I never heard the comparisons for the two. But again, Jeff, I don't need to be sold on this. I don't need a storyline. But you know the WWE, you know creative. The casual fan probably doesn't know who, you know, it'd be stupid to say that comment, doesn't know who Shawn Michaels is. You might be,
no,
must,
they know
you
who
must
Shawn
be living
Michaels
under
is
a rock, though. But again, the casual fan might not understand why this match would be so big like as we do. But again, it sells itself. I'm just wondering, there has to be a reason for Shawn to go in. Because Shawn's not about going into a match and saying, oh, I'm just going to fight this guy because everyone wants to see it. No, for Shawn, he's always a creative aspect where he wants to, there has to be a reason, a good enough reason for to go out.
Well, I'm sure if AJ Styles calls out Shawn Michaels and there's a good story behind it, I think it'll work.
Who goes over?
Oh, AJ Styles. What a year it would be for AJ Styles.
Can I just Shawn Michaels winning the title in San Antonio?
No. Bro, come on, now you're reaching. Now you're not, I don't know. Maybe you're smoking another VD with that one. I don't know. But okay, so we go on the other end of nostalgia.
I need you when I'm working with you.
We go with nostalgia on the other side, mm-hmm, with Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. Now, this matchup most likely will happen.
Money.
At Survivor Series. At
money.
Survivor Series. You had to think that when Bill Goldberg signed up for, you know, 2K17, you know, Vince was coaxed to, you know, making money out of this, and Bill Goldberg had the itch. He wanted to perform in front of his son. He had never seen him in the wrestling ring, so I'm sure there's a lot of stuff behind this. To me, you see Bill Goldberg came back and, you know, we were like, what is the crowd going to remember? And they sure as hell remembered Bill Goldberg. What an entrance that was in Colorado, in Denver, Colorado, for Bill Goldberg. And it had the WWE thinking, huh, maybe it's not just a one-time thing. But what we know now, though, is Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg at Survivor Series. Your thoughts on that? Is that the kind of match? Now, we've seen it, and we've seen a tank, you know. So they've got nowhere to go but up. So can
I
Bill,
go that far?
And we were talking before, can Bill Goldberg take, can he go to Suplex City more than once? That's the main question.
Where do I start with this? First and foremost, yeah, it's money. It was a great decision by the company to do it. Why wouldn't you, with all the momentum and all the talk of the build up to 2K17, having Brock Lesnar on the cover and then an alternate version of having Goldberg in there? God knows, I would love to be a fly on the wall to see what those talks were. Either if it was with Vince, or is with Triple H or Stephanie, because, you know, we've only heard rumors that Triple H and Stephanie really don't like him and, you know, the type of business. My biggest thing is not that can Goldberg go to Suplex City, because I think, Bill at this point in his career and his life, can he even physically go to Suplex City? I don't know. We'll find out. But it's about business. And when it comes to business is, to me, what I've always heard in the past, Jeff, is that Bill Goldberg's reputation went on how he conducted business, meaning, folks, that he doesn't like to lose. He liked to felt the nostalgia of Goldberg back in the WCW time, and when he came to the WWE, was to be a dominant guy, obviously to be a hero to the kids, which he mentioned, which I give him a lot of credit for admitting, because not a lot of people admit that, and he really believes that, so I can't fault him on that. But for that aspect, can he let Brock Lesnar go over on him? You would think it makes sense. It has to. to get his vindication back from WrestleMania 20. But then when you say, Jeff, it can only go up from here, it can only go up to the sense if it's a fight. If it's a wrestling, if they're in the ring and you see Bill Goldberg come out at SummerSlam wearing tights, then you've completely lost me.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
If he comes out in tights, if he comes out in jeans and boots and is ready to go into a fight, just like Brock Lesnar's not wearing the tights anymore. He's wearing MMA trunks. He's got the MMA gloves on. He's good for a fight. If it's a fight and it's a brawl, then yes. But if you go in the ring again, like they did at WrestleMania 20, now 12 years later, and you know Brock Lesnar's an amazing beast, and Goldberg's in great shape, but he's not in the shape he needs to be in to stand toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar. That gives you the intrigue to see it. Does Goldberg look, and you see, like for example,
you're
dropping it because you don't know yourself and you're thinking about it. Will Bill Goldberg, like you spoke about with Eric Bischoff, the aura of Bill Goldberg go away when we see him at this point? He's in great shape, but he's not the Goldberg we knew from WCW. So it needs to be a fight. If it's a wrestling match and he comes out in the tights and the short little boots and the gloves and does that, then you've completely lost me on it.
And then there's a question, too. Should it main event Survivor Series? Is it going to be a Raw?
I think it will.
SmackDown, and wow.
I think it will.
Wow.
Because you're basically using that to sell Survivor Series.
Wow.
It has to main event it. It won't be a long match, but it's got to main event it. The amount of money you're paying Brock Lesnar, and I have no idea how much they're paying Goldberg for this one deal, maybe, who knows, two or three, but it's got to be the main event. That's what you're building towards SummerSlam, which I'm excited more to see we spoke about before, the Survivor Series, the classic Survivor Series matches, the best five of each team.
So there's a lot of interesting stuff that's going on, man. A lot of interesting stuff as we head into the holiday season.
So that's what we've talked about in terms of Hell in a Cell. When it's a triple main event as they've promoted, right? We have the Universal title, Seth versus Kevin Owens, Charlotte versus Sasha, and now we knew this for a while. It was going to be Roman Reigns and Rusev. Besides the order of this, anything else intrigue you of the pay per view itself?
I want to see if the New Day is going to give up their titles. They're so close to breaking Demolition's record.
And they promoted a lot on WTV about Demolition's record.
And Sheamus, to me, this would be horrible because I think Sheamus and Cesaro are making the best of it, the best way they can do with, what they've been given as far as the tag team that can't get along and put together, against their will and have their tag team title opportunity. And then, everyone wants to see, can they coexist to get the titles? Can they coexist as champions? But the main question is, the New Day is a money machine for the WWE, still is. Are they going to take the titles off of them? We already know the fate of Gallows and Anderson and what's happened to them. It would be so bad for Sheamus and Cesaro not to walk away the tag team titles, because to me, it just buries them even more. So it's a conundrum, but you wonder exactly where are they going with that. I don't see the New Day losing those tag team titles.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't see them losing either. And, it's an interesting card to see what the outcome is going to be on Hell in a Cell again. We're going to see, for the first time ever, the first ever women's Hell in a Cell match. And I kind of wanted to see this similar to Lockdown. I know people made the jokes, Jeff, on Twitter. I think every match should be contested in Hell in a Cell if you're going to do it. Or if not, in my strong opinion, this is my old school feeling, only one match should be in Hell in a Cell. If you're going to do this
title matches,
event
maybe,
thing,
but or a special event, but I really don't have an issue with that. Although
we've
it was
never
funny.
Had a we've had tag team Hell in a Cells before, but we've never had a tag team match for the titles in Hell in a Cell. If that's the case, then the title should have been on the line in Hell in a Cell, the actual structure. But again, lots to look forward to. My fantasy team's obviously going to lose again next week. Before you know it, we're already talking about Survivor Series, and I can't wait for that because, to me, Survivor Series, the classic Survivor Series, was on Thanksgiving, holiday season. You're talking about the Christmas music that's going to come out pretty soon and annoy the crap out of me. But again, it's the start for WrestleMania. Yeah, I like it for a week, and then after that, I'm kind of done, man. But again, I can only hear the same song so many times, unless it's Dean Martin. If Dean Martin's singing it, then I ain't complaining.
It's Marshmallow World, man.
Oh,
you'll be hearing that tons of times this coming holiday season.
But I don't want it to be a white Christmas. I don't want it to be a white Christmas.
Oh, man. Oh.
But that being said, though, a lot to look forward to. Because Survivor Series, to me, is the start of one of my favorite seasons, WrestleMania season.
Oh, so to me, it's Royal Rumble. But hopefully Survivor
Series... Well, they're trying to build Survivor Series
can get to that point again. But, it's going to take a while because, to me, usually it's the Royal Rumble.
Well, the Royal Rumble's kind of lost a lot of its luster as well, hasn't it?
I don't think so.
I look forward to the Royal Rumble, not because I used to look forward to the 30-man over the top rope battle royal. I look more forward to it because I'm like, okay, now it's where it gets exciting. That's where like the part-timers come back. Part-timers are coming back early now. A lot earlier to build up these things like Survivor Series and SummerSlam. So it'll be nice to see where it goes from here. But Jeff, always enjoy talking to you, at least during the show. Outside the show, don't really like speaking to you at all. But again, it's always great to speak to you about this. Again, we'll see where our fantasy teams are next week. Like I said, we have more guests lined up. Guys, check us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Facebook page as well. Like us on Facebook for upcoming guests. We have some good ones coming up pretty soon. But we kind of just wanted to conduct this content with Jeff and I, because it's been a while since we really not only discussed cards, but other topics, not only in sports entertainment, pro wrestling, but obviously in sports as well, which we'll get to in the near future. 50 episode, couldn't have imagined to do it with anybody else but you, Jeff. You guys are listening to the High Spot Podcast.
50 episodes of tolerating, putting up with me. It's crazy.
It is. Man, I can't believe 100. By 100, folks, mark my words. We won't reach 100.
Mark my words.
Yes, I didn't get a chance to say it during Jail and Howie's show. So Jail Brown Howie, mark my words, the High Spot Podcast will be the trend for me, the trendsetter, right? The trend of everybody. Everybody's going to be talking about it, you guys included. Love to have Howie and Gerald back as well.
Yeah, a lot to live up to, man. That pipe bomb from last episode, you really got to live up to it, man. You got only 2 months, and you know, I'm going to hold you accountable to what you said on that pipe bomb. So,
do you see me worry, Jeff? Do you see me sweating?
I see you cool, calm, collected. You've been there before. Wait a minute, that sounds so familiar.
Yeah, my beard's really bushy, too.
So, hey, how about that picture you showed me before, man? When you,
oh my God,
you look so young, man.
Yeah, a friend of mine sent me a picture when I was like 15 years old. I looked nothing like it. I looked like a stick figure and a bobblehead, though. But you know,
that's a nice way to end the show on.
Yeah, we'll reminisce about that later on, and you know, maybe we'll finally put some faces behind these voices. Which you know, I feel sorry for everybody listening, especially for me. I have one ugly mug. But guys, you've been listening to the High Spot Podcast again. Twitter at High Spot Podcast, and our partnership with Brain Stew Radio Network. Shout out Chris Hamill at Brain Stew Radio. Love being partners with them as well. So, for their Jersey Wrecking crew, after listening to this episode, your life has just been too sweet.